Okay, time for the watch list now, our guide to the best cinema and TV for the week ahead. And I'm joined today by movies editor with the RTE Guide, Michael Doherty, and podcaster and presenter Fionnuala Jones. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hi, everybody.
Michael, How to Get to Heaven from Belfast comes to Netflix on Thursday, and there's a lot of excitement about this, not least because it's the new show from Derry Girls creator Lisa McGee. So what can we expect?
Yeah, I mean, it's the first thing she's made since Derry Girls, so people are excited. But actually, it's something that she had in the offing for about 20 years. It was a play at Queen's that she wrote back in her student days. So it's, she has described it as a cross between The A-Team, Murder, She Wrote, and Scooby-Doo, but using a Northern Irish female band of like a troupe. So it's that type of that type of story. It is, it's still the, it's the girls all together.
Bit of a caper.
It is a caper, and it's three old school buddies who they arrive at the funeral of the fourth, and she has died, and then they find out the sort of mysterious circumstances. So off they go to find out, and it's their old stories and it's flashbacks and really interesting cast. Keelan Dunn, Sinead Keenan, and you have people, like a lot of people from the original Derry Girls are in there. Saoirse Monica Jackson's in there, Art Lehanen's in there, Art Campion is in there. So strong cast, really well written, and 8-part drama, and this is eagerly awaited.
Fionnuala, you're excited.
It's a lot of fun. Yeah, lot of fun. The cast works really well together. There's kind of a surrealist tone to it, which I wasn't really expecting, which is probably what sets it apart from Derry Girls. If you're kind of going in thinking it's going to be the same thing, you've got the emotional heft and the kind of interpersonal relationships with the cast, but otherwise it's a bit kind of weird, which I appreciated.
Good fun.
Yeah, good fun. Yeah, and funny as well, of course.
Okay, so that is How to Get to Heaven from Belfast, and that comes to Netflix on Thursday. Fionnuala, Memory of a Killer is on Prime Video, a few episodes up now, I think. Patrick Dempsey stars. It's about a hitman who's losing his memory, which sounds like it could be good.
Yes, an interesting conceit. It's inspired by this Belgian thriller from 2003 and an original book, and as it's already airing in the States, so if you're watching, be wary of spoilers. As you said, Patrick Dempsey, he's playing this hitman. He has Alzheimer's.
I like him
as well, right? The issue is he's this hitman and he's living this double life. He's managed to keep the hitman life separate to his family life. The issue is that he plays the family guy better than the hitman guy. He's not really super convincing as the hitman guy. What kind of the catalyst to him kind of changing his ways and between losing his memory and all is that there's a hit out against his pregnant daughter, and he kind of thinks it might be someone that he's been working closely with. The issue is he stars opposite Michael Imperioli, who people know from The Sopranos and probably more recently The White Lotus.
Yeah.
When you're opposite someone like that, who can both be really scary and also kind of really funny and a bit kind of bonkers. Look, it's grand.
It sounds like people who like this kind of thing know the kind of thing it is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's the kind of thing you'll watch. You might have the phone in the other hand. Like, you won't have a bad time. Will you have a great time? I'm not really sure. And I hate saying that because it's not that Patrick Dempsey is a bad actor or that he's necessarily bad.
Okay, okay. I feel you've said enough.
Sorry.
About Patrick Dempsey.
Stop, stop. He's already dead.
His agent will be after it. Memory of a Killer, that's on Prime Video. Michael, Ancient Rome by Train with Alice Roberts on Channel 4. I think it started last night, so people can catch up with that, and it continues on Channel 4 on Saturdays at 8:30. So is this good for the men who think about the Roman Empire a lot?
Yeah. and people who think about Alice Roberts a lot as well. Yeah, no, but very much so. But I think what's remarkable about it is that it must be very hard to get on a train in Europe nowadays without meeting a TV crew, because everybody is just you can just see all the program editors get on the train and go somewhere. But she has experience in this, and it's also based on her book, and she's an excellent historian and she's an archaeologist. She's a really interesting person. She already has been on the train for the Ottoman Empire. She was on the train for ancient Egypt. So I find her fascinating.
I've never seen her. She's engaging, is she?
She's very good. Yeah, she's just right sort of. She does associate history, but then she also has all the deep history and the sociology of it as well. So she's a very, very good broadcaster, and she really knows her stuff.
Okay, Ancient Rome by Train with Alice Roberts, and that continues on Channel 4 Saturdays at 8:30. Fionnuala, did I see something somewhere that there's a new film of Wuthering Heights starring Margot Robbie?
Did you?
And
I haven't heard anything about that. That's crazy.
Yeah,
oh my God, that's so interesting. I should check that out. This in cinemas February 13th. This is a film you need to watch if you want to know what everyone's going to be talking about for the next 2 weeks, maybe longer. This is from Emerald Fennell, Brains Behind Saltburn and Promising Young Women, which means, look, she's a bit of a divisive in terms of her style and stuff, known for these big provocative ideas in terms of her execution, kind of remains to be seen. I think you're either really into it or you're really not. An adaptation of the Emily Brontë novel. It's apparently very smutty, kind of Bridgerton season one vibes is what I'm hearing. If you're a novel purist, apparently the story is very truncated. So I think that might annoy you if you're going in expecting a faithful adaptation. I don't know why you'd go in expecting that anyway. But yeah, I mean, I'm kind of interested to see how it actually plays out on screen, especially because there was so much conversation around the casting about Margot Robbie as Cathy. Is she too old? Jacob Elordi, he's probably too white as Heathcliff. Look, you'll either love this or you will hate this.
Okay, but everyone will be talking.
Exactly.
Okay,
exactly.
That's Wuthering Heights, and that's in cinemas nationwide from Friday. Michael, tell us about this documentary, A Quiet Love, which is in selected cinemas now.
Yeah, this is one that everyone should be talking about too. It's from Gary Keane, who was the award-winning documentarian who did In the Shadow of Beirut and Gaza. And it's the first ever documentary about using like Irish sign language. So it's a story of three different deaf couples and their very different experiences of being deaf. When one couple is, they're in their 70s, they're from the north, and they grew up during the Troubles, love across the divide, and what it meant to find love, which was difficult enough in that situation, but also when both were deaf. Then there's another couple, an LGBT couple, who are now in England, and they're raising their two kids, one of whom is deaf and one is hearing. And it's their experiences over in England. And the third couple then is a boxer who is deaf and his partner who is hearing, and they have a child, and it's their story. And it takes in the...
That sounds amazing.
It's amazing, but it's not just... There's the romance there, but there's also the social issues, and there's even the political issues.
So it's not just like they're deaf.
No,
they happen to be deaf, they have stories.
And what that means as well, because, for example, the boxer has a cochlear implant and he has to take it out if he wants to be a professional boxer. And it's the politics of... Because deaf people sometimes have a different view of what it means to have it, and there are issues around it. But at heart, it's just romance. Beautiful.
Okay. A Quiet Love in selected cinemas now. Fionnuala, on a different note entirely. So Love Story on Disney Plus. So this is Ryan Murphy telling the story of JFK Jr. and Carolyn Bessette.
Yes. You
tastefully.
Know the way he's... I mean, this is the issue with Ryan Murphy, isn't it? He's done a lot of these anthology series where he's done like the, you know, crime. This is his latest one where he's looking at love stories, as you said. So it's Carolyn Bessette and John F. Kennedy. Again, a lot of issues around the casting of this. It's Paul Anthony Kelly, who I will say is the head of JFK Jr. The casting director does all the raises, and then Sarah Pidgeon is Carolyn Bessette. The only thing is, Ryan Murphy's an executive producer, so it's kind of more vanity credit because it is his concept of an anthology series.
Yeah.
It's a different writer. I'm totally ambivalent to this story, but I feel like other people are really invested if you lived through it. But there's a part of me that's just, because this love story had such a tragic end, it does feel a bit exploitive to me a little bit, even though their chemistry is really good as well. I think you'll either be really into this or really not.
On a trivial note, I would say, looking back at the pictures of them now, there's been a lot of pictures of them around, complete style icons.
Yeah, beyond.
Extraordinary.
Yeah,
like,
truly.
Yeah. Okay, so that is Love Story on Disney Plus, and the first three episodes of that, I think, are dropping Thursday.
Yeah, February 13th, yeah.
Fionnuala, we can keep this brief. There's an Is It Cake Valentine special on Netflix at the moment. Is that literally the premise of the show, yeah? Is It Cake?
They have to create hyper-realistic cakes, and then various celebrities are trotted in and they have to identify whether something is cake or isn't. You know the way people talk about how sometimes children's programming like causes the children to be, you know, like angry or, you know, react in certain ways. This is how I felt watching this. It was honestly raging.
This is hugely popular though,
I know people love it, and I think maybe if I was a child, had children, I'd find it completely thrilling, but I found it honestly deeply enraging. Even though they're kind of doing a different thing this season where it's couples competing together, the couples are making the cakes.
Okay.
I just found them all really irritating and I wanted them off my screen immediately.
I feel if I ever write a memoir, it'll be called Is It Cake? That's what the story is. Is there food there? Is it cake? Michael, tell me about Little Amelie in cinemas from Friday.
Yeah, this is a delightful slice of animation, which is up for every award. It's up for the Oscar, it's up for the Golden Globe, and it's one of the most sweetest things you'll see in a long time. It's from the co-directors who did The Illusionist, you might remember, a few years back. And it's a story of, it's like a bit of a magic realism tale. It's set in post-war Japan, and it's a Belgian couple who are raising a child, and the child doesn't speak for the first couple of years. And then suddenly, through the magic of two things, A, the first taste of Belgian chocolate, and B, this mysterious nanny who is looking after her, that suddenly the whole world is open to the child. And that just sums it up. It's beautifully illustrated. Its pacing is glorious. And it just has... you just come away from it just feeling like, you know, it's not like, is it cake? You're going, is this wonderful? And the answer is yes.
Okay, is this going to go down as one of the classic
animations? It will go down as one of the classic. And it's very hard to find like a non-Pixar, non-Disney to really make an impact. This is the one this year.
Okay, Little Amelie, and that's in cinemas from Friday. Fionnuala, Love is Blind Season 10 is on Netflix on Thursday. You're thrilled.
Sorry, I feel like I've been very negative, but this is now where I can talk about
you're
something
coming to
that
your own here now.
Deeply enjoy. I cannot believe it's made it to 10 seasons, but it has. Basically, I'm sure people are familiar, but the whole conceit is that can people fall in love behind a curtain? Can people fall in love sight unseen is what they love saying. It's become a lot more obvious that as the show has gone on and as it's gotten bigger, that people are engaging with the experiment more to become famous as opposed to fall in love. But it has spun off couples and babies and stuff like that. This season, they're in Ohio. The age range of participants, they're looking between 28 and 38, all with relatively normal jobs. A lot of people in the medical field, which I thought was interesting. A lot of nurses, an ER doctor, an infectious disease physician. I don't know what's going on in the medical
field. Compulsive viewing.
Completely. Completely.
Okay, Love is Blind Season 10 on Netflix from Thursday. Michael, when people hear there's a film out called Hamlet, like, kids are going to be thinking, is this a spin-off from Hamlet? But this is Hamlet.
It's Hamlet. It's from Riz Ahmed, who people will know. It's a terrific, terrific actor. It's something, again, he tried to make for the last 15 years. And it's what I loved about it. I really did love it. It's set in modern times. And it's set, as opposed to being a royal Danish family, it's a London British Asian family. And it just fits perfectly to that. And instead of being, like I say, the royal court and the machinations, Elsinore is now a construction company. Fortin Brass is now a community, a homeless community.
Okay, and the dialogue?
The dialogue is... it's a little bit modern, but it still has a bit of the old Shakespeare there as well, which is very good. But most impressively, the to be or not to be, the famous soliloquy, which if you remember, it's about, you know, suicide and should I live or should I not live. Instead of taking place on the battlements of a Danish castle, it takes place in a fast car on a motorway in London with a guy sitting there with his hands coming off the wheel going, to be or not to be, that is the question.
Oh, wow.
And that's wonderfully powerful.
Okay, you loved it.
I really loved it.
Okay, that's Hamlet and that's in cinemas now. Fionnuala Jones and Michael Doherty, thank you very much. Of course, Fionnuala, the big cultural moment tonight is going to be, there's a culture war over this already, which is Bad Bunny performing the halftime act at the...
Absolutely. Very rude of the football teams to interrupt the Bad Bunny concert, but we'll let them off.
Okay. All right. That's it for today. Thanks for Fionnuala Jones and Michael Doherty. You can listen back to all the conversations from today's show on the RTE Radio app or wherever you get your podcast.